Broadcasting from down in the basement of his home, deep in the woods of eastern Colorado, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson celebrating freedom today on the Generations broadcast. I'm a father of five, so is Dave Buhner in studio with me. We love freedom on this radio program. July 4th is right around the corner, and we're going to celebrate freedom. And freedom is something that God gives to us. And it's something our nation claimed at the beginning. Why? Because we were up against tyranny. Now, tyranny is the opposite of freedom. Tyranny is when somebody imposes some laws on you that are just not biblical. Now, as the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. We actually believe that God establishes liberty in the land, and he does so by means of his own laws that regulate what the family, the church, and the state can do. So you have, ultimately, God's laws that establish the maximum liberty we could ever enjoy on planet Earth. Otherwise, we're going to be enslaved to all these different things. Dave, as it turns out, we are somewhat enslaved today, but our nation really was founded with this concept of God's law as very, very important. That was true with the founding fathers back in the 1630s and 1640s when John Cotton were writing Moses and his judicials and others were establishing God's laws as the basis for law in the American colonies. So it began that way. Now, with the establishment of our nation, the major battles that were fought against the state control of the church. And that was a huge, huge battle. And, of course, it began with Calvin in his institutes. He declared that the church ought to be free to do what it felt it needed to do in the spiritual issues of people's lives without the state telling them what to do. In other words, the state should not be appointing your elders. The state should not be regulating who you excommunicate or who you don't excommunicate, who you bring to the Lord's table and who you don't bring to the Lord's table. This was a huge battle, and yet the state control of the church continued, even with the Protestants, in places like Germany and England and Scotland.
Yeah, that was a different fight for liberty. We're coming on the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Reformation. The beginning of the Reformation had to do with whether or not the Pope and the Emperor could tell these individual princes how to worship. And so there was some liberty granted to a more local jurisdiction. Calvin took that even farther. Calvin said, no, the church has to be a whole separate jurisdiction. It is a separate institution created by God, self-regulated.
And that, friends, is how you get the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. We have freedom for religion. Doesn't mean that we don't impose God's laws upon all of life in order to establish the maximum liberty we can enjoy. Because ultimately, the reason we believe that the church ought to be free from the state is because God's word says it ought to be that way. You don't want Uzziah running into the temple and doing the temple work and controlling the temple work. The temple's do their own thing. The state does its thing. The temple does its thing. And there's a separation in the Old Testament between church and state. And certainly in the New Testament, we ought to insist upon a separation of church and state in that the church does not control the state and the state does not control the church. This was the major issue that was fought out through the 1600s. And I'm afraid people don't appreciate this as much as they ought today. The fact that we don't have the governor of Colorado calling up our church and saying, I don't like Kevin Swanson pastoring and preaching in your particular church. I've got my guy I'd like to bring in. We don't have those sorts of things happening here. That was happening in England, and that's why John Bunyan wound up in prison.
And not only was the state choosing who the clerics and the ministers were, it was choosing what the sermons would be, how you would worship, when you would worship, what worship was allowed. And that's why we have the First Amendment. Really, the First Amendment was about not having a state church that is a church that was controlled by the state. It was nothing to do with whether or not we were one nation under God. Of course we were one nation under God. The framers didn't think they had to state it. Of course God reigns. They stated it in so many other places in so many different ways. They stated it in the Declaration of Independence that we have rights that are given to us by our Creator. Obviously, our Creator is working in the affairs of men. When we go to wars, the framers would say that God would providentially bless those who were righteous and faithful to him. So they didn't have to say that the civil magistrate was under God in their formulations.
Freedom. freedom for the church, marvelous freedom for those who think that the worship of the church is important, for those who actually think the church is a meaningful institution in life. And David's humorous to think about how most people see these freedoms as highly irrelevant, because the church is nothing. The church doesn't have a place in life. The church has no authority whatsoever. Excommunication, who cares who gets excommunicated? Who cares if the word of God is preached? Because nobody preaches it with power and force and doesn't have the power it once had to change culture and to speak to the issues of the day and to be a leader in the community for the cause of God. Right now the church is kind of irrelevant because it's got a mealy message and it doesn't really have much of an institution. It doesn't provide for the poor. It turns all of its poor over to the state to take care of. The church is largely meaningless. It's just a shallow, hollow shell anymore. But back then, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, the church actually meant something. Well, folks, freedom for the church was significant for our particular situation here in America. And I believe that this is one reason we're able to broadcast. It's one reason we're able to have a church that actually means something and brings a message to bear on the lives and the cultures of the people because of this freedom that our forefathers gave us some 200 years ago. Moreover, Dave, the idea of the written Constitution is a wonderful concept. Something that John Calvin, again, held up very strongly against Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who, of course, was another man from Geneva. We have two men from Geneva that went head-to-head over, say, a couple hundred years. Eventually, Jean-Jacques Rousseau won. But initially, John Calvin and his influence was significant in the establishment of written constitutions because he said that because Samuel laid out a written constitution in 1 Samuel chapter 10 for the people before he installed Saul as a king, he says, therefore, the king must always be held back by the chains of some kind of a written constitution. You've got to have one. Now, you have three different concepts working here. There's some who said the king needs all the power. And those guys were dangerous. And yeah, a lot of the monarchies of the 1400s and 1500s and 1600s became very, very tyrannical. I think of Henry VIII was a tyrannical king, as was James and the Stuarts and others. Yeah, these were tyrannical kings, and they believed that the king was law, that is Rex Lex. And of course, Samuel Rutherford up in Scotland wrote the book Lex Rex, insisting that the law is king. That is the ultimately God's law. The written constitutions are king, and the king must be subject to those written constitutions that cannot be changed at the whim of the king. Okay, but then you had the Jean-Jacques Rousseauians that showed up and said, no, democracy is the ultimate king. The people know best. The people control the elections. The people will redistribute the wealth anytime they want to. The mob needs to rule. And of course, that led to the French Revolution, and Thomas Jefferson was very taken by that. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson went at each other a little bit because John Adams insisted that there ought to be a constitution that held the people down to certain standards and certain rules such that those people could not change that constitution, at least very easily. Thomas Jefferson actually at one point suggested that there ought to be a regular revolution on the part of the people, overturning the government, because he saw that the French Revolution was a good thing. Of course, later on in his life, I think he changed his opinion slightly when all of his friends, or a good many of his friends, were guillotined in that bloody revolution where there was constant revolution, and new orders were turned over just about every 5 years. So, again, who should rule? Who should be the ultimate standard that rules a nation? Should it be the king? Should it be the people in a democracy? Or should it be a constitution and a system of laws? And we would hold to the fact that there are eternal laws that ought to bind the power, not just kings, but democracies that become as tyrannical as our democracy has become.
Kevin, nowhere in the history of humankind was there more liberty than in the garden prior to the fall. Man could do most anything except for one thing, except that Adam, our great-great-grandpa, he decided that he thought liberty meant the ability to break God's law. And he found out it was sort of like the liberty to hit your hand with a sledgehammer. You can do that, and yet it's going to bring horrible consequences. Right now, in this nation, when we talk liberty, I'm afraid we're talking a foreign term, because people tend to think that it's liberty from the laws of God. It's liberty to fornicate. It's liberty to steal my neighbor's money by taxation rules. It's liberty from all the laws of God, and rather than what our framers and our forefathers meant, which was liberty to worship God in pure holiness.
We have a wonderful heritage, my friends. We're celebrating it today on Generations, a heritage of freedom, great religious liberty, a battle that was hard fought from the time of the Puritans into the time of James Madison. We're thankful to God that eventually we gained some freedom for the church, and that was a wonderful thing. But today, our freedoms are not appreciated as they once were, and neither is the Constitution. The idea of written law, not even considered a real issue. We have people who are made Supreme Court Justice of the United States, and they could care less about what the founders intended with the Constitution of the United States. They would change it. They would make it an evolutionary concept that would evolve into something different in some revolutionary state from generation to generation, not unlike what is happening in Honduras right now. Dave, you think about what's going on in Honduras with the president of that country saying, I can rewrite this constitution anytime I want to. Supreme Court of that country cut him down, but he says, no, I'm going to do it anyway. And then eventually, of course, the army tried to stop him, and then Hillary Clinton got all upset with the army because she's such a revolutionary socialist Marxist herself, that now we have this Marxism that continues to work its way into our systems, and I think we've lost the concept of written constitutions or the eternal validity of the moral laws of God, such as laws that would say thou shalt not steal. And so now you have democracies who say if you can get 51% of the people to say we're going to go and steal the money belonging to 49% of the people, that's just fine, because whatever the people want, that establishes their right. That is legal. That is a good and right thing to do. Well, I'm saying that the law of God still stands, and it doesn't matter if 68, 82, 94% of the people say it's okay to go out there and slaughter all the Jews in a country, or to redistribute all the wealth from anybody who makes over $80,000 a year. I don't care what the majority says. God's word stands, and God's word is steel and stone, and it says, thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not steal, and we are people of the book, of the written constitutions that have come down to us in stones and written constitutions. Ladies and gentlemen, we are trying to salvage something of the remnant of freedoms and liberties and constitutions and written law on this radio program. In just a moment, we're going to talk about a battle that we are dealing with today. Will freedom survive for ourselves and for our posterity? Doubtful, but it depends on whether or not a few people get a vision for it. And I hope you can get it from this radio program. Be back in just a moment. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson celebrating Independence Day, our freedoms. And ladies and gentlemen, we have such a heritage of freedom to celebrate. Yet, I am sad that there are so few people that will plant the seed of liberty, and so few will water it with their blood, and yet so many enjoy the fruits of it. I'm talking about hundreds of millions of people have enjoyed the fruits of liberty, because there were people who would die for the kinds of freedoms that our Constitution gave to us. But so few people will sacrifice for it. So few will stand up against tyranny. Hey, our forefathers went to war over 27 cents of taxation. But our people today will bow to hundreds of billions of dollars of taxation in any given month. Bring it on. Governments consume 40% of GNI. Make it 50. Make it 60. Make it 70. Clank on the irons. I love servitude to big government. That is the way people are today, and so few people would lay down their lives for the cause of freedom from big government tyranny. And they did it for the cause of the church. I know there are people today saying that was such a silly battle that these people would go to the stake and burn over the idea that they didn't want candles in their worship service, or they didn't want to wear a certain kind of garb. People would die for their right to appoint their own pastors in their church rather than have the state control what was happening in the church in the 1600s. This was important to them because the church was a value to them. See, I don't think there's anything that's much of a value to people, but just security and getting another beer and another bag of chips and watching their games, bread and games. Just give them the bread and games, let them run down to the Coliseum, and let the freedoms of the country dissolve into oblivion. Let the hordes come down and take over the country. Who cares? Let the economy crash. All people care about is their own security and their own personal affluence and enjoyment of life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's a couple of guys here in studio who actually think there are a few things left in the world over which we would give our lives, and that would include freedom for the church and freedom for the family. We actually believe that families ought to be able to determine the direction of their own families. They ought to gain more rights and responsibilities to raise their children in the fear and the nurture of the Lord. We actually think these are values worth dying for. I know it's nuts to people who are aborting their kids and sending their kids off to have somebody else raise them, have the state take care of them, and have the state raise them, and have the state put them to work, and have the state take care of them in their old age, and have the state euthanize them at the end. Okay, I realize there are people out there that don't value these freedoms, but we do. We think the family is important. And we would be willing to put our lives on the line for the freedom for the family. Dave, I think if our forefathers knew what was happening, that families aren't able to make their own medical choices, families aren't able to educate their children the way they see fit, the families aren't able to refuse immunizations if they want to, families aren't able to homeschool their children in places in Europe, and I'm going to get into that in just a moment, I think they would be horrified that there are people in America that would bow to that kind of tyranny. I mean, they would utterly despise those people. As Samuel Adams say, you know, let their chains rest lightly upon them and may their posterity forget that they were our countrymen. They would despise these people who would not stand for freedom against big government bureaucracies.
They would despise them because they have been despised. We have not been taught in America, in the public school system, what this freedom cost. When these men, these signers, pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors, many, in fact, most, gave up their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honors to purchase freedom and liberty on this continent. And for years, this continent stood, is Winthrop's ideal dream. We were the city on the hill, a light of liberty to the rest of the world. They would despise because they have been despised. Their sacrifice has been buried. What they gave up that we might have this liberty. And we ought not treat it as something cheap.
You say, what do you mean by this, Kevin Swanson? What do you mean by this, Dave Buhner? What I mean by this is the White House, Barack Obama's administration, has already sounded the alarm that they are going to work hard for the passing and the signing and the institution of the UN Convention for the Rights of the Child here in this country. And you say, well, what does that mean? That means that family freedoms, parental rights, will be eroded in this country if that comes to this land. And this battle is heating up. And, Dave, I'm afraid there aren't enough people out there who are up in arms against this kind of stuff. They're rolling over and playing dead because who needs the family? Who needs parental rights? Who needs to make choices that are important for the health care and for the paideia or raising or nurturing of their children? Well, I happen to think that that's still a good value. And I happen to think that if parents don't do that, you're going to see the ongoing eroding of our civilization, of our society, of our systems, of our economies. I actually think family is still important.
There's a few people out there that are still struggling for the kind of freedoms and rights and responsibilities that families need to retain if we're going to salvage society for future generations.
Well, I want to refer to Mike Smith's editorial that he just wrote on the UN Convention for the Rights of the Child. You know that Germany has been persecuting the living daylights out of homeschoolers, and some of them are seeking freedom here in America. And we actually interviewed a man who brought his family to America. I believe he lives in Tennessee right now, escaped his motherland because they were persecuting homeschoolers for standing up for family freedoms. Well, according to Mike Smith, other European countries have not embraced the German methods, but there is a move in some countries to crack down on homeschoolers. It refers to Sweden. The government released a suggestion on June 15th that all schools, including homeschools, must provide an education that is acceptable to all pupils, regardless of religious or philosophical beliefs or the beliefs of the parents. The study concludes that there is no need for the new law to recognize the possibility of homeschooling because of religious or philosophical reasons in the family. We are confident, says Mike Smith, the authors are aware that this effectively would end homeschooling in Sweden, as most families are homeschooling for religious or philosophical reasons. Then he refers to what's happening in Britain, a June 11th report on home education in England by Graham Badman. I like that name. That fits the story here. Mr. Badman is former managing director of Children, Families, and Education in the county of Kent, makes the case that homeschooling should be extensively regulated. More troubling, the report has been accepted in full by British Secretary of State for Children, Schools, and Families. The man's name is Ed Balls. The underlying philosophy behind Mr. Badman's conclusion is based upon children's rights contained in, that's right, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, which came into force in Britain in 1992. Mr. Badman contends that current homeschool law, which is very similar to many homeschool laws in America, does not address children's education needs or protect the child from harm by the parents. The UN Convention would give children more than 40 fundamental rights, including the right to express their views freely, the right to be heard in any legal or administrative matter, etc., 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 etc. Mr. Badman is urging that England make it possible for children to form their own views and express themselves freely in all matters affecting them. Among his suggestions for homeschool law is the right of designated local authorities to enter homes and speak to each child alone. And boy, this is the clincher here. This idea of unbridled power to enter a home is abhorrent to Americans because of the Fourth Amendment, which protects homes from unreasonable searches and seizures and recognizes the fundamental right of privacy and family integrity. At least a few of us believe that. At least a few of us, the founding fathers included, still believe that these bureau rats should not be entering our homes and interviewing our children one-on-one in an improper search and seizure. But you know the tyrants love this kind of stuff, Mr. Badman included, from England. And Hillary Clinton and all the others that want to bring the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child into America. Folks, we are up for the battle of our lives. You think that our forefathers are the only ones that needed to get out there and sacrifice their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor for the cause of liberty? No, you need to as well. I need to as well for the cause of freedom for our children and our grandchildren. If you love your children and grandchildren, if you care a whit about the kind of liberties that they will enjoy in 20, 30, 40 years from now, you are in the fight of your life. That's right. The fight for freedom has just begun. And you need to sign up for it right now.
And, Kevin, those who gave up their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors would not comprehend that we would give up our sovereignty to a group of corrupt thugs, tyrants, and dictators from around the world. That we would start listening to those who have never known the law of God. And we would give up the law of God for what their wisdom might be. But their wisdom doesn't begin with the fear of the Lord. Their wisdom is all about amassing power to man and to governments and for themselves. And this is what we're voting for. I mean, this is what our representatives are supposed to protect us from. I think our framers would think it's time to start over because this government, this experiment has failed because, as John Adams said, this form of government is only for a moral and a religious people. It will work for none other. The reason this government is failing, the reason we're losing liberty, is because we have ceased to become a moral and a Christian people.
Ladies and gentlemen, every era of world history is marked by a battle between good and evil, between that which establishes rights and liberties and that which establishes tyranny. And we see a massive increase in tyranny in America.
a la the growth of the federal government, a la the expansion of regulations over every aspect of life. This is a no-brainer, okay? There's nothing to debate here. We are a tyrannized people, and we're a tyrannized people because we're immoral people, and because we seek security over liberty, and the tranquility of peace over the animating contest of freedom. Well, I say anybody who takes those values, depart from us in peace. We ask not your counsel, nor your arms. May your chains rest lightly upon you, and may our posterity forget that you were our countrymen. That's what I say. I say it with Samuel Adams, a great founder of this nation. Well, this battle for freedom has just begun, and I welcome you to the vision of the second Mayflower. Dave, what we're talking about is reestablishing a nation on the principles of freedom that were given to us by our forefathers. And I think it can be done again. I really do. But I am dedicating my life to identifying 100,000 people across America. We don't need 200 million. We need 100,000 that are willing to take this vision, the vision I talk about in my book, The Second Mayflower, the vision that was given to us by our forefathers, and reestablish it somewhere on planet Earth. And I'm suggesting we start right here, right now. You can grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, and enjoy a read about this beautiful vision for freedom, a vision that we have enjoyed in this country and hundreds of millions of others have enjoyed this. But it's going to take people who are willing to plant the tree of liberty and water it with their blood. If you have that kind of vision, my friends, I think we can establish something for our children and our grandchildren. And that's why I broadcast this radio program. You can get my book and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at my website, kevinswanson.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me invite you back again next time as we continue to cast a vision for freedom for the next generation.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with some great messages that will encourage your family to live and love together the way God has laid out in His Word. Imagine a five-day camp with some of the best nationally known speakers on the family. A five-day camp priced from $155. That's $155 for the whole family. We have obtained the use of one of the largest campgrounds in the West for this camp. Scheduled August 21st through the 25th in Glorieta, New Mexico, your family will hear inspiring messages on relationships and loving the family from some of the familiar voices carried on the Generations Radio broadcast. And there will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, tennis, ping pong, paddle boats, and canoeing. We have priced this camp so it will be affordable to the largest families with the lowest income and a tough economy. To register or just check out a little more information on this camp, visit our website, renewingthefamily.com. That's renewingthefamily.com. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock.